Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing the show, on this Flag Day. It's June 14th, Wednesday, Flag Day 2017, coming to you from Arizona's Voice, Tucson's Voice as well, AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. That's my website where we've got all our podcasts as well. And of course, the live stream is also available on the station's fine website, kvoi.com. If you'd like to join us on the live line, our live line is now declared officially open at 790-2040. If there's any time during the hour that you would like to join in the conversation, perhaps, and hopefully enhance it, give us a call. Right now, let's talk about downtown Tucson, all decked out in red, white, and blue, very appropriately for this Flag Day. Let's now go on the live line. Margot Susco is with us. Margot is the co-owner of Hydra Clothing Boutique at 145 East Congress Street. She is a member of the Downtown Merchants Special Events Committee that organized really a three-month celebration that will display and are displaying 150 American flags and patriotic decor on downtown streets. Margot, how are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm great, and happy Flag Day to you. Thank you so much for having me on this afternoon.
Well, I've got my flag prominently displayed by my front door, and you do as well in your business.
Yeah.
And there, how did all of this come about? And first of all, I want to say congratulations. It's one of those things, why didn't we think of this a long time ago? I mean, it's just such a great idea. Let's show the colors. Why not?
Let's show the colors. And I would like to say I also have my American flag up at my home, and I hope everyone else does as well. You know, we merchants have been looking for a way to bring the community together to enhance visitors' experience downtown. You know, we want people to come down and feel this sense of neighborhood and community that we're used to with downtown. Get them to walk around, get them to really experience what's around them. So we downtown merchants started a special events committee, and this is our first big kickoff event. You know, it's for the merchants. Again, it's to bring people down. But the bigger part of this is the patriotic aspect of this. Speaking for myself, you know, I grew up studying history, and I think it really defined me as a person and studying military history and so forth. And I respect and honor the American flag, as do all of our merchants. And we thought, you know what, Bill, this Flag Day, we're going to celebrate Flag Day. We're calling it our Downtown Tucson Patriotic Red, White, and Blue Summer. And we're going to carry on with our events, our America flags, our bunting, through Labor Day. So we're super, super excited and very, very proud to be doing this.
Well, I think it's wonderful, and I think it instills, especially in kids, a sense about what Old Glory is about. I reflect on my own time growing up in the lovely Chicago suburb of Wilmette, Illinois, a city of trees, big trees.
Ah.
And I remember we would decorate, Memorial Day used to be called Decoration Day, and we would decorate our bicycles. We'd put kind of red, white, and blue paper bunting in the wheels. And it was really, you know, the kids got into it. We had a parade, and to this day, I can see that giant flag flying at the entrance to the lovely Gilson Park in Wilmette, Illinois. So it's instilled at a young age, Margot.
You know what, Bill? I agree with you. I grew up in Chicago on Belmont and Central Park.
Mm.
And every morning, we would put our hands on the desk and face the American flag, and our principal would come around, and she'd go to each class every morning, and we would say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the sense of pride it instilled in me back then. And one of the reasons we're happiest to do this even now is I think we've lost a bit of that sense of self, sense of pride in who we are, sense of pride in where we come from. And you can't help but feel that. When you look at the American flag, I mean, to me, the American flag signifies the best in ourselves.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're aware of, you know, the sacrifices that went into that American flag, it just makes you want to be a better person. It makes you want to be worthy of the sacrifices. And that, to me, is how you can really celebrate every day and make sure you are worthy of these sacrifices, is being a good person and a good citizen every day. So the response from the community has been amazing. We've got over 100 American flags all throughout downtown, and we've got all kinds of American flag bunting, and we're actually finishing it up today. And I'm excited to tell you about our summer kickoff patriotic party today at Johnny Gibson's Market, which is on 6th Avenue in Congress. And that is just across the street, sort of kitty corner from me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from 5:30 to 7:30 in the Johnny Gibson's courtyard. And we wanted to have a celebration to bring the community. We've got city officials coming, and to bring our friends together to just really, first and foremost, celebrate the American flag. So we will have members of the Sons and Daughters of the American Revolution there in costume, in the proper clothing with the muskets, to actually talk about the history of the American flag, because even if most people aren't generally aware of it, but everybody loves historical facts.
Yes.
We've got, you know, the mayor, the city officials coming, all kinds of wonderful friends coming. We're going to have live music. We're going to have drink specials. We're going to have some wonderful food. Probably 7 or 8 of our wonderful local downtown restaurants have donated food. So we are coming together to kick off our Flag Day, and then we will also be celebrating 4th of July. We've got a wonderful event we're planning for Korean War Veteran Day on July 27th, and we've already talked with the Presidio about getting together to celebrate Tucson's birthday. And again, we downtown merchants couldn't be more proud to dress up our downtown and celebrate our patriotism. And I mean, Bill, who can appreciate the freedoms we're granted more than a small business person, right? Because we're out there carving it out every day.
We are indeed. And shout out to Flags for the Flagless. This is a nonprofit organization that does provide flags to schools, homeowners, groups, and businesses, donating the flags to the merchants. Thank you, folks that are associated with that organization.
Oh, my goodness. Charlie Foley, you know, he's a police officer who used to be down here, and all we had to do was call him up, and he was right there. And everybody's come together. And you're absolutely right, Bill, in terms of why didn't we do this before?
Right.
And so where we are so excited to celebrate Flag Day and all these other historical events, but we're going to keep this going because we hearken back to the days when downtown is where you went. Downtown is where, you know, they decorated every downtown. It's where you went to meet up. The kids would stare at the windows and point at the display windows. And so that's what we want. We want to take this back to another time when the downtown was decorated, our parades are down here, and it was the meeting place. We're very proud of our neighborhood. We're very proud of our downtown. So we're hoping everyone's going to come down and join in our patriotism and come to our flag kickoff party today.
It's a good feel-good story, Margot Susco.
Oh.
And thank you, by the way, as being honorary squadron commander for the 305th Rescue Squadron out at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. They were recently deployed in Operation Freedom's Sentinel. And I thank you, Margot, for all that you do for our community. I really do.
Absolutely, Bill, and thank you. And thank you again for having me on. We very much appreciate your support.
Thanks a lot. Margot Susco with us, who's really doing so much for downtown Tucson. Congratulations to Margot. I want to tell you about Green Things, one of our fine sponsors. They do these great gardening workshops. They're free and open to the public. There's one Friday afternoon, 1 to 3. Everybody needs to know, if you're into gardening, about drip irrigation. Folks have lots of questions, so understanding drip irrigation Friday afternoon, 1 to 3. Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon, repurposing your succulent garden workshop. at Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go again to Green Things AZ. That's the website, greenthingsaz.com, for all the information about the workshops. Hank Amos, President, Tucson Realty and Trust, is next. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. Also, we'll talk with a cybersecurity expert with information that could save you a lot of heartaches. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice, and our worldwide live streaming at buckmastershow.com. Alrighty then, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Let's go right back to the live line. Hank Amos, President and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, is with us on the live line. We have a lot to cover, Hank, in 10 minutes as you put out your kind of mid-year forecast of where we are in the commercial real estate scene. How are you, Hank?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
As I say, lots of ground to cover. Why don't we kind of go with some bottom line here? How have we done since we last spoke about the year coming up? We spoke at the beginning of the year in January. How are we doing right now, Hank?
We're doing very well. So at the beginning of the year, we forecasted that the commercial real estate market was going to have its best year probably in 10 years. And we called the last 10 years pretty much the lost decade for Tucson. Not a lot happened. And so far, year-to-date, things are doing very well, and it looks like that forecast is going to hold true. And the reason why that forecast and why we forecasted this year to be probably the best year in 10 years is mainly to two core points. One, nationally, which we call the Trump effect. And we've seen it in the stock market, where it's had unprecedented growth since November, and that's because investors are believing the fact that businesses are going to be able to generate more revenues as we lift a lot of requirements and sanctions on business and all, that they'll be able to finally push forward and generate more profit. And so with that, there's a feeling of expansion going across the country, and that's transcended into Tucson. And then Tucson's local economy has really picked up. And the reason being is we had 5,300 jobs last year. We're forecasted to have 7,100 jobs this year. And that's due to three things. One is the government's commitment to Tucson and southern Arizona. He's been down here more probably than the last two governors, maybe the last three governors combined. He was the lead guy in bringing Caterpillar to Tucson. Second is Rio Nuevo. Rio Nuevo is a TIF that has incentives that can lure companies here. We didn't have that before. We have that board. It was kind of, they were about ready. The legislature, as you remember, we spent $250 million, didn't know where it went, and the legislature was about ready to pull it.
Oh, yeah. They were ready to pull the plug on the whole thing.
They were going to pull the plug, and that's turned into being a great recruiting tool with the leadership of Fletcher McCusker in that board. So that's been a big benefit and a boom to downtown Tucson, but to Tucson as well. And the third reason why our economy is doing well, it seems like our local government, which has been no growth, whether it's been the city council or the Board of Supervisors, have finally figured out that no growth is a killer for communities. And it only took Tucson to become one of the poorest cities in the country, the crumbling of our roads, the appearance of our city more like a border town than, let's say, Scottsdale or Palm Desert. And they've kind of realized that in the last couple of years and now are focusing on growth and jobs again. So those things have done real well. And how that translates into the commercial real estate market is this. The investment market is really strong right now. And the leader in the investment market is apartments. Investors right now are trying to chase yield. So they're looking at the stock market and saying, hey, that's a little frothy. Can't put my money in the bank. I'm not really earning anything in the bank or bonds. So real estate looks like a good vehicle for and has good fundamentals. And it's multifamily that's leading that. Cap rates are in the 5% range, mid-fives for well-positioned larger properties. And that was unheard of 5 years ago. But it's still doing well, and the rents are rebounding. They were stagnant for 10 years, and now they're finally moving up. So that market is doing very well. The office market had a tough time for many, many years. Rental rates were down where they were in the 1980s. Well, rental rates actually went up about a point and a half. They had positive absorption of almost 60,000 square feet. Vacancy is around 10.9% or so. So the office market is finally starting to rebound. So it's doing very well. Industrial is probably still the laggard of the group. And that's because the home building, new construction, really hasn't kicked in yet, and neither has the manufacturing. But it's still doing okay. They had 92,000 square feet of absorption. Rental rates actually dropped a little bit, but still doing well. Retail continues its momentum. They had 235,000 square feet of absorption so far this year, compared to like 39,800 square feet in the fourth quarter last year. There were nine new retail buildings that came online, again 235,000 square feet. Vacancy is about 6.5%. And the big story there is still urban infill, where they're tearing down old buildings and putting new retail up. Think Broadway and Wilmot, both the northeast corner and the southeast corner. And then we look at land. And land was just dead during the last 10 years, and that's mainly what happens that generates land sales or home builders. And so you didn't have developers or investors buying land and then platting them and putting lots on there or paper lots that they can sell to home builders because home builders weren't buying. And home builders weren't buying because the residential home market wasn't doing very well. But the residential home market is doing exceptionally well right now. And I want to kind of go over some statistics on that, too.
Okay. Before you do, Hank, let me just say, incidentally, I've been at our home nearly 30 years in the Fletcher Caeta area in the foothills. There's been two lots just on our street that have sat for years. Suddenly, guess what? They're being developed and homes are going on those lots.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So the residential home market's on fire. And normally that market will start right after the Super Bowl. So the housing market starts right after the Super Bowl. It peaks about the middle of March, the end of March, and it kind of tapers off about the first week of June. That market started on fire January 2nd. It's still going very strong. But here's some interesting statistics regarding the residential home market. So building permits, year-to-date, up 15.8%. Home sales, residential home sales, year-to-date, up 11.5%. Remember, last year was a record year. Residential home prices, up 4.6%. New home sales, up 12.3%. New home prices, is now the average is $335,000. That's
wow.
A record, up 17.9%. Residential lot sales, so we're talking about the lots like you had in Fletcher Caeta, okay? Lot sales up 47%.
Oh, boy.
Under contract right now, they haven't closed yet, up 43%. The inventory in terms of months on inventory has dropped 58%. Active new listings have dropped 10%. So the market's on fire, and because the market's on fire and residential homes are selling, that means that new homes are people are gravitating towards those now, right? But the new the home builders don't have any lots.
Huh.
So they've run out of lots to build on, so those prices are going up. And new, so there's going to be demand for land to put more lots on there. But for a while, it's going to take a while for that inventory to catch up. And because of that, you're going to see price increases, which I just showed you.
Is this the biggest increase you've seen in a bunch of years?
Well, for home pricing, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, we have, how many years we had talked about, well, you called it, what did you say at the beginning of the
lost decade.
Yeah, you called it a lost decade. That's a pretty good way to put it, Hank Amos, that lost decade. So we've got ground to make up, but it sounds like we're really doing well. And overall, there seems to be a real nice optimism around town. Would you agree?
Yes, and I kind of harken back to 1984. It's eerily similar to that period. So if you think back to 1984, for those of us that are around, 1981, we had really record interest rates. Remember, they were 18%.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing was happening. World markets weren't doing very well. The residential real estate market was horrible. Commercial real estate was horrible in Tucson. Everything was bad. Then we elected a new president, Ronald Reagan. He talked about growth and prosperity and getting jobs going again. And it kind of feels the same a little bit. We have a president, I'm not saying he's like Ronald Reagan, right? But he's talking about growth and prosperity again. We're feeling those effects. We've been coming out of a 10-year recession, and it feels like 1984. I'd say we're in the first inning of a 9-inning game, and I think we got a couple good years ahead of us.
All right, Hank, I've only got a minute or so left. I was a long way away in the South Pacific when you did a great show with my colleague Ray Allen about the future of kind of repurposing of shopping centers. Could you kind of, in the minute here, what's going to happen with shopping centers? How are they going to be repurposed, Hank Amos?
So So what's happened right now is Amazon has, some people are referring to Amazon as the Darth Vader, right? They're coming in and people are ordering online. So there's some communities where you can order in the morning, use your Echo, order in the morning, you're going to get it delivered that morning.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're starting to see that a little bit. And so you're seeing stores like Macy's and Kmart and Sears, they're closing 227 stores this year. So those old power brokers are starting to go out of business, and it's because of online purchasing, up 10% from 2010, bricks and mortar down 13%. So what you're going to start to see are landlords Amazon-proofing their who their tenants are, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going more towards restaurants and maybe specialty retail and all. I still think you're going to need both, mm-hmm. because what we noticed was that when people bought, so online shopping was the number one shopping channel for sales during the last holidays,
mm-hmm.
and 84% of those consumers went online before they bought at a store.
Right.
So you're still going to see bricks and mortar online. It's going to be a combination of both, but online's having an impact on tenants, mainly in malls across America and some of these stores like we talked about, Macy's and Sears and Kmart.
All right, Hank Amos, President, CEO, Tucson Realty and Trust. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Hank.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction Diane Douglas will be with me in studio. Now is your opportunity if you've got some education questions and you would like to speak directly to Ms. Douglas. 790-2040 is our live line number. Call right now. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
With a little humor and whimsy, Tona Chula is honoring the environmental significance of native bees during National Pollinator Week with their Adopt a Bee campaign. With your adoption, you'll receive an exclusive invite to their pollinator party. Meet your bee and enjoy locally distilled Three Wells Tequila and Whiskey Del Bac. Sample the Garden Bistro's inventive food creations using bee pollen and honeycomb. And try the regional honey bar by Dos Manos Apiaries. Join them on Friday, June the 23rd for a pollinator party. For more information, visit tonachule.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:35 on the beginning of, I think we've got a stretch of about at least 7 days of some really, really hot temperatures here in Tucson. So I certainly enjoyed yesterday. It was nice. And yesterday morning, relatively cool. So we'll get through it, though. We always do together. Let's welcome now Diane Douglas. Ms. Douglas is the Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Arizona. Diane, how are you?
I'm doing outstanding. Thank you for having me back, Bill. It's always a pleasure to be here.
It's always great. We talk to you on the phone quite a bit, but it's always great to get you in studio, eyes to eye. So you had a two-day, last night you had a listening event.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go, by the way?
It went very well. At first, we thought the turnout was not going to be too good. At mm-hmm. start time, there were just a few handful of people, and then all of a sudden, they just kept coming in.
And that was out at Star Pass,
correct.
The Star Pass Resort, and you have another event. The venue is in Vail.
That is correct.
That's the Vail Innovative Center, and for folks that want to come out, that will get underway at 6 o'clock tonight. What was the take-home message from last night's event, and what would you expect to hear tonight?
You know, the number one thing we've heard, and this is my third listening tour, but yet my fourth time around the state in 2.5 years I've had the privilege to hold this office, and overwhelmingly, the message is teachers, teacher pay. We need to compensate our teachers for the very, very important job they do in our society.
Teachers leaving is a huge issue. They're going to other states. They're getting out of the business. They're going into other careers. In your time as superintendent, have things been deteriorating in that regard, or are they getting a little better?
It's hard to know because so many districts, it's different from place to place. But we had a gentleman that came last night and spoke about the district he works for. And I believe he said they were losing 54 teachers this year. Half of them were leaving the state and half of them were leaving the profession.
Hmm.
And that's very sad.
It is. So how do we keep these teachers?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. Part of it, obviously, is teacher salary. And someone just mentioned to me today that a couple of decades ago that we were about the middle of the pack for teacher salary. And now if you look at the current statistics, we're 49th, 50th, 48th, right, bouncing around the bottom. So clearly it's not the whole issue, but teacher pay and compensation is part of the issue. So a couple of weeks ago, I came out with a recommendation that we extend and increase Prop 301. It's going to sunset in a few years, and we can use this as an opportunity to make sure we keep the piece in place, the sixth of a cent tax. But I've recommended we go up to a full penny, but that money has to be for teacher salary and for school infrastructure.
Do you have the business community supporting that?
The business community has actually just this weekend released a different plan.
Mm-hmm.
So we really haven't had a chance to take a good look at it. For me, the sticking points are going to be teacher salary, non-supplanting of that money so that it doesn't become another shell game, that they truly get this money, that it becomes a permanent sales tax a 1 cent, because that was something I dealt with on school board. A program comes in this year and it's unfunded the next year, and you need consistency.
How do you do planning? How do you do any kind of long-term planning when you have a program like that? You say it's not around 1 year and it's gone.
You can't.
It comes back and goes away. I mean, you can't.
You can't. And our school boards, you know, bless their hearts, everyone who serves on a school board. It's an elected office, and it's the bedrock of our public education system. They don't get a dime for the work that they do, so I give them, it comes from the goodness of their hearts.
And they invest a lot of time, don't they? And
yes, they do.
As you say, they are not compensated, and you put in quite a few years on the Peoria, Arizona School Board.
Yeah, I had the privilege 8 years, 2 years as the board president.
What brought you, by the way, to that point where you wanted to get involved with a school board? Do you have an education background before that or what?
Not a formal, no.
Huh.
It began.
You didn't study education in college or anything like
nope.
that?
No, huh. Nope. I come from the business and finance side. I was a financial analyst for many years, and I'm also an artist mm-hmm. In another life that I try to hold on to.
What type of art, may I ask?
Glass.
Oh,
glass art. Yeah, and I taught it for over 10 years.
Oh, really?
So, and
I had no idea. See,
yeah.
I learned something. That's why I like doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I learn something new every day.
Yeah, and so, I taught adults, so that's a lot different than teaching young children and high schoolers. So, but I came to it because of my own daughter's education. One day I went to a meeting, I'll try to make this quick, PTA meeting, and there was some accolades about student achievement, and it dawned on me that I needed to know what she was learning, you know, and it was my responsibility to make sure she got a good education. So I started studying curriculum instruction and everything that went on in education, and it lit a passion, and she got a great education in the Peoria school system. And I want every child in Arizona to have that opportunity, because it's about making great citizens.
How did you view, when it comes to education, this current legislative session? Certainly education was one of the front burner issues, kind of a marquee issue. When all was said and done, how did we do?
We put more money into education, definitely. Once again, my concern is sustainable money, that we fund teacher salaries, we fund school facilities, we get the money in the place where it needs to be, that our boards can depend upon it. I think we saw some, I don't know that I want to call them projects, programs that may or may not be sustainable, and that's not my vision for the best interest of our education money. Quite honestly, I'm very disappointed with the direction certification took.
The teacher certification
bill,
the new bill
right.
that now is law, right?
That is, or yeah. will be on August 8th or 9th.
Yeah. What were your concerns with that?
I'm afraid it's going to weaken our profession. You know, education is very much about the content that needs to be taught, but you also need to have the skill set to deal and communicate with our students and our young children. So now where for many years we leaned on the side of, if you know how to teach, you can teach anything, pick up the book and teach it, but that doesn't light passion
right, right.
in a student. Now we're going to, if you know your content, you don't really need to know how to manage a classroom, how to communicate with those students, how to do a lesson plan. We need that middle ground. We don't need it all one
yeah,
way or the other.
I think you're right here. I'm a little concerned that just because you are really a specialist in one area, then you're suddenly in the classroom, you don't understand kind of the, as you said, the teacher management and that particular culture that revolves mm-hmm. around teaching. I mean, you may be really great at math or whatever you've been doing in private industry, but how that's going to translate into the classroom, there needs to be some kind of intermediate step, I would think.
And we've had that for years. We've had alternative teacher training programs and ways that people could come into the field but still get that education piece that they really need, and that's the piece that's going away. Time will tell. It always does.
790-2040. If you have any questions or comments for the superintendent, she would be delighted to speak with us. Ray, let's take the break right here before I change topics with Diane Douglas as we continue talking about education. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Flag Day, June 14th, 2017. Be right back.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by one of our fine sponsors, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. That is a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States, specifically the southwestern portion of New Mexico, and it's not that far from Tucson. It's about a 3-hour drive, and in the summertime when we get these temperatures that go past 110, it's nice to go to a place that has some elevation that's like 6,000 to 7,000 feet. So you go over there, and yes, it's going to be a very warm day, but the nights cool down nicely up there in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And if you want to go hiking, there's some great places to do it in the Gila National Wilderness. If I could recommend Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org, that's our fine website. They've got the listing of the many places to recreate and to stay. There's some really nice places. So it's a great getaway for those of us here in Southern Arizona to go visit our friends over in the land of enchantment. Diane Douglas is with us. She is the superintendent of public instruction for the state of Arizona, and there's so many education topics to talk about. Diane, a lot of the budget for infrastructure, that's an issue. We have really neglected our schools in bringing them up to standards. Some of these late 40s, 1950s, early 60s buildings, quite honestly, need a real upgrade.
Well, and one of the things that happened was there was a lawsuit, Roosevelt v. Bishop, back in the early 90s over the maintaining of our schools, and that created the School Facility Board, and it's up to the state to maintain and build new school buildings. And then we hit the Great Recession, and that funding got cut back, and now, unfortunately, there's yet another lawsuit over restoration of that funding. And one of the things I was surprised to learn since my time on the school board, we received that funding, and now it's become a grant process that just so much money goes into the pool, and the school facilities board, school districts have to apply for a grant, and then a decision's made that your air conditioner's broken worse than my roof is leaking or whatever the case may be. And
so you start prioritizing, I guess, but everybody's got needs, and like is a leaking roof a more of a priority than the air conditioning going out? I mean, it's crazy.
Well, and the other thing that's coming from it is that now our districts have to go out for bonds to maintain their facilities. Well, the lawsuit was to take that off the back of the local taxpayers. Now it's being thrown right back on them because we're not funding that facilities maintenance and construction.
So what is the lawsuit saying specifically? This would force the legislature to put more money into it?
I would have to take a look at all the details of it, but that's the nuts and bolts of it, that it's a mandate to be funded. It was an agreement between the state and the citizens, if you will, and it's not being funded, and so we have to take a look at it. But the important part is our kids have to have safe schools to be in.
How about the Arizona Broadband for Education Initiative? That was passed.
Oh, that is a great program. It's actually a grant that came to Arizona. It was actually written by the gentleman who's my PIO, Stephen Swyatt, and 7 states were awarded it. It will bring back to Arizona $100 million of our own money. That's what Washington's money is our money, and allow us to get internet to the rural areas and at little or no cost to the districts. And the great part about that is it's a 2-year grant. So any district out there that's hearing me that hasn't applied and needs this, there is still time to apply for that grant and get in the second year of it.
Yeah, because some of these areas, rural areas especially, could really use an upgrade, couldn't they?
Well, not only do they need an upgrade, but we were talking about teacher shortage. So they can't get a calculus teacher. They can't get a physics teacher. We can get those teachers who are here in Phoenix or in Tucson, wherever they may be, to provide those classes over the internet in a reliable, dependable way. And it'll not only support the schools, it'll support libraries, businesses, the local government. We are very fortunate to have that come to Arizona.
This grading system, A through F for schools, you've got some concerns about that.
Well, one of the things, our A through F system was suspended for 2 years. It's going back in for this school year based on the AZ Merit Test, which is our new test. We have added some elements, the state board with college and career ready, that the districts can bring into their system, but primarily it's based on a one-day test. So the kids take the AZ Merit Test, and that's it. That's going to be the major portion of that A through F. And I think there's so much more that goes into evaluating how good a school is. And so we were hoping to be able to provide some more enhanced report cards, which we're required to do. But we really wanted to bring a good picture to parents of what that school provides academically, the arts. To some parents, it may be very important if there's a full-time nurse on that campus or not. So we'll keep working on that.
How about charter schools? Is there too much, those that are huge advocates for the traditional public school say too much emphasis goes to charter schools? What do you say to that?
Well, we are the leader in school choice in the nation, clearly.
We kind of started it, didn't we?
Yeah,
we're kind of innovators.
Yeah, we do,
in that.
And we're growing in that. But, Bill, I believe in all choices, and we have to support all of them. We have to remember, even after 20 years of charter schools in Arizona, 85% of our students still go to traditional district schools. And I believe that's because their parents choose that option for
them. 85% still in the traditional school?
Yes.
Huh. But you would think it would be more, just because there seems to be so much emphasis publicity-wise on the radar screen about charter schools.
Well, you know what? I want all parents to make that best choice for their children. And I've met with parents who will have 3 or 4 children, and one's in charter, one's in public, one might be in private. And I've even known people that said, we pulled one out and homeschooled them for a while, because that's what's best for that child. And that's what the education system's all about.
What is next, getting back to Proposition 301? And for those that don't know, Proposition 301 was money to go to education that passed quite a few years ago, correct?
At 2000.
So it's going to, as you say, sunset in
2021,
something like that.
With
that sunsetting, we would lose a lot of money, right, that would go out of education.
Yes, we would.
Yeah.
It's 0.6 cents of sales tax.
Mm-hmm. So there seems to be, as you say, the business community just this week, they want a bigger tax increase for teacher salaries and education. So the kind of nuts and bolts of which direction this is going to go still needs to be determined. But I think everybody seems to be on the same page that it's a good thing to continue.
We seem to be on the same page. I really worked hard. Teacher salaries has been a topic of mine since I came into office, so I'm glad to see the dialogue moving in that direction. For me, the 0.4 cents, it would be teacher salaries and then the school facilities, 3/4, 1 and roughly 1/4. I want to make it permanent. The business, I don't know a lot about it. I haven't met with anybody from it. It is a bit more. And one thing I want to be very careful of is, if we're asking the voters to vote and extend this, if the votes no, we lose it all. And we desperately need that money in
our
education
system. That's an all or nothing
system.
Vote, in effect, then.
If that's how it goes to the ballot.
Yeah.
So we have to be very careful about how it's worded. I always tell people, don't listen to the TV ads. Mm-hmm. Get the proposition and read the language.
Right. Now, teachers did get, and some found it to be quite insulting, this little raise that did come out of the legislature. I think it worked out to, what, like 25 cents a day or something. It was nothing.
I don't,
it was more symbolic.
Well, and I appreciate the work the legislature and the governor did towards that. You know, one thing people do have to think about is, when we talk about in roughly $8.3 or $8.5 billion budget in this state, which sounds amazing, but when you look at voter initiatives and the agency budgets and all the things that start the baseline, there really isn't a lot of new money for them. I think they said there was about $50 million in the box this year. That's the money that they have to allocate to new programs. So I appreciate that they turned their attention towards teacher salaries. I wish it had been more. And I think my Prop 301 proposal is a better way to do it. We need new money for teachers' raises.
You will have at least, I don't know, three or four opponents. You're going to have a primary. What will be your message, your bottom line message to the voters about your term in office so far?
Well, the first thing, when I ran, and you probably remember this because I believe we talked,
we
was vehemently opposed to the federally mandated Common Core.
Yes.
We're out from under the federal copyright. The State Board has repealed Common Core as the official standards of the state, and in December of 2016, we adopted revised standards in English language arts and math. If Common Core is still in Arizona, it's in the classroom in the districts, and I encourage parents to go to their school boards and fight that battle. But I'm proud to say to the Arizona voters, I promised them things, and I took a lot of flack for staying on course, but I stayed on course, and now I want to work for our teachers, make sure our children still have educational choice, and make sure we keep the great education system we have here in Arizona.
Diane Douglas, thank you very much. Good to see you.
It's always a pleasure. Anytime, Bill.
Thank you very much. We have more local talk here on KVOI this afternoon. Mike Shaw's program, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen will be ably assisting Mike. The two of them put together a great hour from 4 to 5. We do Wake Up Tucson for 3 hours from 6 to 9 each weekday morning. And, of course, me, Bill Buckmaster, I will be back with you tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. And, as usual, we'll have a very full hour for you. We'll be talking a little bit about cybersecurity and some things that you need to know to prevent a real heartbreak. You don't want to get involved with some bad areas of cybersecurity. So that's tomorrow on Buckmaster. Until then, on behalf of Ray Allen, have a great afternoon and evening.